Today on Real Radio.
The cry for unity is a cry that is being propagated, and you're going to hear about it more and more. You're going to see it in newspapers. You're going to see it in church ads.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. In fact, we're in a mini-series that focuses on the all-important warning that the Apostle John issues in the opening verses of chapter 4. He writes, well, quite frankly, in no uncertain terms, "Be not deceived." In other words, believers are urged here and in other passages to think critically. We have got to be on the lookout because, as the Apostle John himself puts it, many false prophets have gone out into the world. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his series, taken from this section of 1 John chapter 4. It's called Living in the Days of Deception.
And this article went on to talk about how we need to focus on the things that we have in common and let the things that we don't have in common float away, go away. Wait a minute. If you have half a brain, the things that you and I do not disagree are, let me put it this way, the things that you and I disagree on are quite frankly the most important issues. Those are the issues that are most often absolutes. Do you understand? I hope you're not sitting so silent because you've swallowed the new math theory. You know, 2 + 2 = 5. As long as you try, that's what counts. How'd you like to step in a spaceship with the scientists that went to new modern math? Well, we put it together, 2 + 2. He thought it equaled 6. I thought it equaled 3. Oh, as long as we're sincere. Can you get in the rocket now? No, I'm not getting in the rocket unless you send over a German engineer or mathematician. You know, come on. It's amazing. There are absolutes. Very important. Let's get into this study. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, regarding the deception of the cry for unity. He says in verse 4, in the opening line of verse 4, he says, "You are of God, little children." So the first thing that we see right here is that we are no longer of the world. Listen, you're no longer of the world. You've been brought and bought out of the world by Jesus Christ. You've been completely purchased. He bought you at the cross, and he called you out of darkness, called me out of darkness, into his glorious light. We have been brought from the world into a relationship with him. We walk now in the light. We no longer walk in the world. We have been declared his children. So the first thing that we see right here is that now we are of God. Look at the very first few words. You are of God. Interesting. It means the you who John is speaking of is you who confess what the false prophets do not. And that is Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That he's altogether deity. So whoever you are who are of God, you are the one or the ones who confess the opposite of what the false prophets teach. Any false prophet that comes against the nature of Jesus Christ is following suit, following in the footsteps of those before him. One of the great, great diabolical schemes of the false prophet and the false teacher is to undermine the deity of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Says, "For no one can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Now, let me explain that. You might say, "Well, I heard somebody call Jesus Lord, but they didn't believe in him." Yes, that's true. What this verse means is that which is doctrine to you. If you understand the lordship and the position of Jesus Christ, you can't claim him, declare him as Lord without the Holy Spirit working in your life. You can lie about it. You can lie about anything. But for somebody who says, and the doctrine is their life, Jesus is Lord, you can't do that but without the Holy Spirit. That's why a lot of people can say Jesus is Lord and he's not the Lord of their life. But the Christian says Jesus is Lord because it is the doctrine of their life. He is Lord. He's involved in everything that they do. Not just Sunday, every day. Now we are of God. The word of, interesting, you make a big deal of the word of here. This is very important. In the Greek, the word of is the word ik. But listen to this. It means the origin, where vitality proceeds from. If you are of God, it is the origin. So now you are the origin, the vitality, the place, the time, the cause is God. As a result, we have now come from Him. We have been born of Him. So when He says you are of God, it means two things. Number one, it means that God has originated our spiritual life. No doubt about that. The second thing is, now that we are His, we live our life out and through Him. It's awesome to realize that Jesus wants to live and does live His life through us. That's a sobering thought. And yet it's true. We are now of God. There was a day when we were not of God. But we heard the truth, and that truth set us free. The word also implies like giving birth. Listen, this is important. Like giving birth. We are of God. The child originates internally in the womb of the mother. The child is dwelling within as the child grows. And thirdly, the child comes forth from the womb into the world. So the fact of the matter is, our salvation originates in God. Of course it does. The fact of the matter, the Holy Spirit is within us and working and molding and shaping and doing all things to His good will and pleasure in our practical sanctification day to day. And then finally, in our day-to-day life, we go out into the world. We live this life, walking with Christ. But the origination starts with God. It's like a while back where I was talking to my kids and something came up. Maybe I wasn't talking to my kids, but they chimed in. That something was said. I don't remember what was going on. And I had to say, hey, wait, time out. I put you here. I remember the discussion led me to having to tell them, to remind them, I put you here on this planet. So it was probably like this, you will take the trash cans out. I put you here, thus you shall take the trash cans out. But one of them said, wait a minute, Mom's the one that delivered us here, you know. She's the one. They're challenging, you know. I said, you know, I put you in Mom. That's where it started. It started with me. Don't forget that. The Holy Spirit saves us, starts the work. And the outcome of that is that now that we are in God, we walk and live and move in this world as Christians under the power of the truth of God. The truth, the word, is to permeate our thinking and our words and how we live and act. It's to dictate who we are, even though our emotions and our flesh might want to be something different. We are to be submitted to Him because we are now of Him. Very important. John chapter 7, verse 7. John 7, 7 says, but the world hates me, Jesus says, because I testify of it, that its works are evil. Because we've been born of God, the world, of course, hated Jesus because Jesus testified of its evil. Jesus also said that you and I are the salt of the earth now, and the world's going to hate us. In fact, in John 15, 18, Jesus says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, notice the difference of the world versus being of God, the world would love its own. In other words, it would love you if you were of the world. Does the world love you? Jesus says, be careful if the world speaks well of you. If that's the case, then you're none of His. He says, yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Why? Because they see Jesus in you. They can't stand you. You say, well, what does this have to do with unity? It has everything to do with it. You or I are going to be dictated by what the Bible says, or we're going to be swayed by what our emotions or what the tide or what is politically correct is promoting. And yeah, you know what? I think if you take a literal view of the scripture and stand as Jesus stood, you're going to be labeled. But the difference is, we are of God. Listen, what unity is this? I don't see it. Because listen, if we were in a class right now of logic, one of the just the primal things that we would argue right now is, if someone is born of God, and then there are those who are born of the world, there's a big chasm. There's a conflict. We have two opposing camps, of the world, of God, and the two shall never meet in agreement. They can't meet. One is earthly, perishing, and the Bible says devilish. The other is eternal, heavenly, of God. They'll never meet. The cry for unity is a cry that is being propagated, and you're going to hear about it more and more. You're going to see it in newspapers. You're going to see it in church ads. Come together, forget your differences. And that sounds sweet, again. But when it prostitutes doctrine, when the cry for unity supersedes the cry for truth, now we are in grave danger as a church. We've lost that biblical rudder. The truth cannot change. Listen, the truth cannot change, not because we're committed to not changing it. Oh no, the truth is much stronger than that. The truth can't change. We may change, but the truth never changes. It's eternal, it bites forever. It's God's truth, it doesn't change. It doesn't sway. Persuasions may sway, but it never changes. This drives a lot of people crazy. They want to be able to massage what God's views are, especially when their life goes awry. Their life goes off the ditch a little bit, and they begin to manipulate Scripture. And as the apostle puts it, that they wrestle with the Scriptures to their own destruction. Dangerous. In 1 John 3:9 says, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed, that is God's seed, remains in him. And he cannot sin, that is, he cannot practice sinful activity, because he has been born of God. Wow. 1 John 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child, or loves his children. This is unity in the brotherhood of faith in Christ as it is given in Scripture. The second thing that we see under this point is that now we have his Spirit. We're not only of God now, but now we have his Spirit. This is fantastic. I love this. Look what it says following in verse 4. It says, little children. The words in English have to be two for the one Greek word, technia. It's a great word. It means one born into the family, an infant child. Listen, it means a darling one. Isn't that neat to think that that's how God thinks about you, a darling one? We have become his. The Holy Spirit now dwells within us. We have his Spirit. We don't have to worry. You don't have to worry if you're going to be led astray. You know that? Because you have the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit pulls the bells and whistles and cranks the siren when you hear bogus doctrine. I was studying this morning, well, today, all day for this message, and there was a knock at the door. And I opened the door, and there were two people with their bicycles today. It's so sweet of them to come by. And I said, I'm so sorry. What? I said, I'd love to talk to you. I said, I'm really crunched for time. I've got to get something done. I'm studying and I got to teach tonight. I said, will you please come back? They said, really? I said, yeah, please come back, but I can't now. I can't. I'm so sorry. And they said, well, we'll be back. I said, okay. And I thought, I sat down, Lord, this is amazing. Right in the verses, that right in the passages that we're studying, these precious people, love them. But if you ask them who Jesus is, the definition they give you is a totally different Jesus of the Bible. And my heart breaks because I love them so much. I know exactly where they're coming from. They're not mean. They've been misled. They're sweet. But they've got to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the only thing that will save them. And the Bible is that truth. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you, that is us, he's made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Wow, do you see the division? There's the sons of God, there's the sons of disobedience, there's a kingdom of light, there's a kingdom of darkness, there is the spirit of error, there's the spirit of truth. You will never have unity as long as this is happening. Never. Unless it's a human-based, carnal unity, which equates nothing to God. If you think that Jesus is meek and mild about this topic, consider John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of the father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, and he speaks of his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Jesus said that to a bunch of religious people. Where's his sense of unity? Can you imagine if Jesus would have showed up at this conference or this meeting here locally? Can you imagine? He would have walked in, maybe. I don't know what he would have done. He's God. I have no clue. But he could have walked in and said, "Who do you say that I am?" Well, one guy would have said, "You're the Maharishi. You're the enlightened one." One guy would have said, You are the son of Joseph and Mary. You are a descendant of Adam God. Then someone else in the group, if you read the article, they would have denied his deity altogether. They would have said, "Well, you think you're the son of God, but in reality, you're just a really, really powerful man." Because that's what that denomination believes and teaches. Do you know what they would have done with him? They probably would have crucified him. We're living in the days of deception. We need to be careful. The second thing that we see is this. We have victory over the spirit. Notice it's lowercase s. I want to point that out so you're not confused at all. We have victory over the spirit. When I say that, I mean the spirit of Antichrist. We don't have to shudder and be intimidated or fearful about it. I got to tell you something. I hope this is encouraging to somebody. I got to tell you. In 1980, I got a job. And it was an incredible job. I didn't know how incredible the job was going to be. But when I sat down there for the interview, I was only there, actually, I went to another division of this corporation, and I got the job. And the guy said, "Well, you'll start in 2 weeks." It was no big deal. So I go home, and about 3 days before I'm supposed to start that job, they call up and they said, "Well, you know, we've given your job to somebody else." And I thought, "Well, thank you." And they said, "We have another position for you." And I said, "Okay." I thought that was kind of bold for them to do, you know? So I go, I show up. Oh, the guy says, "I wear a tie." Well, the other job, I didn't have to wear a tie. I didn't know how to tie a tie, honestly. I didn't even know. I drove over to my dad's house. He tied the tie for me, and then I put it over my head the next day. And I didn't know how to tie a tie. I showed up there, and it's like 2,000 employees there. So, you know, I'm parking out and way out there. So I walk up there, and I didn't know what to do, but I know, I'm knowing here that, you know, "Lord, what in the world is going on?" And so I show up to this place, I'm supposed to show up, and they say, "Well, you need an interview with this guy." And so I was, okay. So I go in there, and the guy asked me all these questions. And I didn't know the answers. But I didn't feel bad. I didn't ask for the job. Right? I didn't ask for it. Some knucklehead in personnel thought, let's put this guy at the job. So I'm sitting there, and it's becoming very obvious to me that I must only be here for the opportunity to witness to this guy. So I'm saying to myself, he's talking. I'm like, Lord, I'm thinking, Lord, give me the time, give me the opportunity. I'm ready. Because I know the job's not mine. With the questions he's asking, you know, what's your definition of fusion? So it's obvious I'm not going to get the job. So I'm saying, Lord, just... And 3 hours, this interview is going on. And I kid you not, I said, sir, I don't need to take any more of your time. I'd like to say something. I'm a Christian. And this is what my life is all about. And I told him. I go to church 5 days a week. My wife works at Calvary Chapel. It's down the street from here. Here's the deal. You know what? I had the job over there by the airport. Somebody gave it away. Big mistake. Okay, I need to go back over there. Here's the deal. And the guy goes, you know, I believe in God once. But you know what? I sinned so bad, and I got away from God. And then he just goes, this guy's pouring his guts out. I don't even know the guy. One thing leads to another. The guy says this, and there's people in line for this job. He says, I tell you what, you got the job. I'll train you. I'll mold you. You're my guy under my wing from here on out. I couldn't believe it. And that guy did that. 9 years he did that until he moved on. I was there nearly 13 years until God called me. We quit that job to come because this place had gotten too big. But you know what? I got to tell you something. I worked with PhDs. I worked with some of the most famous physicians in the world who created heart valves and artificial hearts and special diagnostic heart catheters, all these things. I got to work with these guys. And you know what? I got to tell you something. When the Holy Spirit is inside you and some brainiac, PhD, says, well, you know what? I think that we're whatever. You know what? You don't have to cower. You don't have to panic about their PhDs or their positions. You simply can say or ask them, why do you believe that?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the first 6 verses of 1 John chapter 4, where the Apostle John writes in no uncertain terms, be not deceived. That's a pretty heavy warning. It's actually a multi-part series called Living in the Days of Deception. Living in the Days, D-A-Z-E, of Deception. It's a mini-series that's part of Pastor Jack's overall verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, have you seen our Monday night television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs? I hope you have. We also have an app for your smartphone by that same name, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. We just like to make things easy for you. Remember, it's free. Here on Real Radio, you've heard us mention things like Journey. That's one of our television programs that airs on his channel. Words to the Wise, that's Pastor Jack's devotional, which I personally love, and you can get in your email inbox if you'd like. Our Wednesday Night Study, which also airs on hischannel.com live. Our Real Radio podcasts, and of course, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. That's our Monday night TV program that deals with, well, real life issues from a biblical perspective, and a whole lot more. I'm peeking at mine right now on my smartphone. There it is, all at my fingertips. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs and the new free app for your smartphone. Of course, to learn more, you can always visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.